Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies in the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which he is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he and not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in an attitude of prayer? We thank you, Lord, that these words are not dead. It's not simply ink on paper, but rather it's you speaking to us. So however we need to be stretched, however we need to be filled, however we need to be soothed, however we need to be challenged by them, Father, keep us open to that right now. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Has anybody here ever had an older sibling? Has that older sibling ever tried to get you to do something you weren't sure about? Possibly. Were you ever that older sibling that you tried to get somebody to do something? So I don't mean to point out particular individuals, but I can't help it sometimes. So, my brother, we were at a carnival in Springdale, and it was one of those traveling carnivals. And I would encourage you to be very careful about riding any of those rides that they put together and take down repeatedly. I was on one of those crews one time, and the things that they told me to go ahead and use other than bolts would just send shivers up and down your spine. I always waited for the bolts to go ahead and use those so that it was a little bit more secure. But we were standing there, and we were looking at one of those rides, and I was pretty little at that time, and it was that ride that you stand up, and it spins around and starts spinning around real fast. Then all of a sudden, it starts tilting up on its side. You know what I'm talking about? And the force of it holds you against that wall. And my brother and I were standing there, and he was saying, Neil, you got to go on this. You're going to have a great time. Neil, you, I promise you, if you puke, I'll get you something. I'm sorry to use that term in church, but that's exactly what he said. For those of you who don't know, that's getting sick. And you know, I thought to myself, you know, the ride and the laws of nature. Anyways, it was just really discouraging to me looking at that. But I finally got on it. And he was like right next to me, and he was encouraging me. He said, just hold on. It's going to be okay? Just hold on. And he kept looking at me throughout the whole ride, and he said, you okay? And I said, yeah. I'm making fingernail prints in the bars there. And we got off the ride afterwards, and he said, so what'd you think? And I said, I had a great time. After all of that coaxing, after all that coaching, I had an absolutely wonderful time. And it became actually one of my favorite rides. Except whenever the arm was completely up and it kind of shakes there for a moment and you wonder if the wheel's going to stay connected or not. Anyways, now that I've ruined that ride for everybody here, whenever you see it at a carnival, the idea of stepping into unknown territory, of being willing to trust. In this case, I was trusting my brother. He was a trustworthy guy. For us as Christians, it's a deeper thing. It's at the very core of who we are. Are we willing to trust Jesus? Bottom line. Are we willing to trust what he says, what he does, his teachings, his words, his actions? If we're willing to trust, then indeed we are going to be in for a great ride. It's not always going to be exciting. It's not always going to be fun. But nonetheless, we are in for the most worthwhile journey we can imagine. A journey that is focused on our own instant gratification, self-gratification. Our journey that is focused on accumulation of toys. You know, that bumper sticker that says, "Those who die with the most toys win." It's wrong. I can tell you that. If you believe that, folks, I'm sorry to burst your bubble today. But nobody takes it with them. Uh-uh. For those who are simply worried about accumulation and accumulating enough, these words will provide challenge. Now, well, let's go ahead and get right to the point. If you say to somebody, "Don't worry," what's the first thing they're going to do? If you say to somebody, "Don't think about lunch after service today," what do you think the first thing they're going to do is think about? Lunch. Boy, I hope those people I'm staying with, I hope they take me out to lunch someplace good. Hope I'm visiting with somebody, they're going to go to someplace good. For us, worry and fear, because those are connected, are the opposite of faith. Are there things that we should be concerned about in life? Of course. No question about it. Are there things that we have responsibility for? Yes. Are some of us going to find ourselves in positions where we are responsible even for other lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. But if we keep focused and we keep mindful of who it is that we belong to first, who it is that defines us as his, then it changes how we look at the tasks and challenges that lay before us in this life. It becomes less and less about the kingdom of me and more about the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God terminology, that reign of God terminology, is something that Jesus is speaking of here in this Sermon on the Mount. This continues, by the way, the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes people look at the "blessed are they," the Beatitudes part, the first part of chapter 5, as the Sermon on the Mount, and then it ended, and he said, okay. Hey, Jesus didn't care if the 20 minutes were up. He kept preaching, so he didn't really worry about that. And he keeps preaching here, and he keeps teaching here, and he keeps sharing here. And this Sermon on the Mount is really something that is providing the foundation and the basis for everything else that goes on in his ministry. Think about later on in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is telling the story of the final judgment of those on his right, on those on his left. And what are those words that he shares there in the final judgment? Whenever you fed me, whenever you fed somebody, whenever you gave them food, whenever they were thirsty and you gave them something to drink, whenever you clothed them, in other words, whenever you cared about the least, somebody that's put in front of you that you never expected to be there, and that challenges your notions of what cleanliness is, what decency is. Whenever you took care of them, Jesus is saying, then guess what? You took care of me. Jesus was very much about the poor. The poor not only physically, but the poor in spirit. Again and again and again, he taught that and brought that out. So what is he saying here? He's preparing people to be his disciples. Whenever you look at the Bible, whenever you look at a section of the Bible, for instance, in this case, the Gospel of Matthew, it all works together. It really does. It's a wonderful thing. You kind of step back and you start reading it as a whole and you say, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's where that part fits. You know, God didn't just do things by happenstance, by chance, and you're not here by chance. You're here with a purpose and for a reason. God's created each and every one of us even more beautiful and more valuable than those flowers. Jesus says, in essence, if you are so worried about where your next meal is going to come, if you're so worried about your clothing, your wardrobe, if you will, if you're so worried about all of these things that God has promised to take care of for you, then you are never going to be able to pay attention and be aware of when God really is guiding you to be his people. Make sense? Later on, we understand that this is very much about what judgment is all about as well. If we are about ourselves, then on judgment day, that will come to light. If we are about being God's people and considering others and being able to see others, literally see others and meet other needs and follow what Jesus asked us to do, then indeed that will come to light as well. Bobby McFerrin a few years ago had a particular song that was very popular. Some of you maybe even will know it. Go ahead and look at somebody right now. Get their attention. If they've dozed off, gently wake them. Go ahead and look at them and repeat after me. Don't worry, be happy. You remember that song? I won't sing it. Don't worry. No fears. Don't worry about that. Do you want to come up? You special music? Okay, special music. Okay, she was getting into it. That's good. I like to see that. Don't worry, be happy. And it was kind of, you know, just had this tune and it became very popular. For God's people, when we focus on what God wants us to focus on, not worrying about tomorrow, but being open to God's grace today, then we understand that he's conditioning us to be very much in the moment. Okay, do we have to plan for certain things? Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. Somebody who's in ministry with all of you, we all understand that we need to plan some things. We need to be about looking into the future. But should we be consumed by that and miss God's movement right in front of us, right in our midst? There were people that were so worried about the future that Jesus was talking to himself, that Jesus himself, God incarnate, God in human form, was right in front of them, and they missed it because they were so focused on something that was out of their reach, something they had no control over, yet that's what they were thinking. You know, I learned, and I've learned from some things that have happened in my life, that to be about in the moment or to be about today is important. Certainly I plan for the future and have things on my schedule. I was trying to get together with a sister in Christ right after first service, and I said, well, just email me, because then we can both be looking at our calendars. We find ourselves doing that, don't we? We need to look at our calendars before we make a move. But being in the moment is important as well, because, you know, that older brother that I told you about earlier in my sermon, died at 49 from stage 4 colon cancer. And so I know that tomorrow is not promised, okay? Today is a day that is a gift for us, and we need to love one another. We need to be able to see God's presence in one another, and we need to be willing to take the time to be with one another, not just to be about our own frantic schedules or planning things to the nth degree that we forget that God is in our midst. Folks, let me say that again. God is in our midst. God is in our midst. That was one of the core truths of Jesus' teachings and his life and his words. God is in your midst. How are you open to that, being filled yourself? And then how are you open to being a channel of that God presence? It's a story of a curmudgeon. Somebody who was a leader in a church and somebody who liked being a curmudgeon. Somebody may come to mind in your lifetime. Somebody who liked being a curmudgeon, and yet they were willing to also be wonderful channels of love. And this curmudgeon was given the task of taking a group of kids to a nursing care facility. And he wasn't really interested in it, kind of grumbled the whole way, kind of even growled at them a little bit as they were making a little bit too much noise in the church van. And he got there and he stood in the back of the room while they were going ahead and leading worship. And he kind of had his arms crossed like this, you know. When somebody crosses their arms like this, it usually doesn't mean something. That usually doesn't mean, give me a hug. He's standing there, but all of a sudden he felt a pull, felt a tug on his sleeve. Remember, we're talking about being open to God in our midst, not worrying about things we have no control over, being open to God in his midst. There's this old gentleman, a brother in Christ, who was in a wheelchair that was tugging at his sleeve. And so surprisingly, he found himself putting his hand down there, and the brother grabbed his hand. And they were holding hands then throughout the entire worship. Well, guess what happened? The next month, it happened again. And this brother was specifically looking for this quote-unquote curmudgeon, who slowly but surely was being changed and transformed and recognizing that he was called to be in the moment right there and to be a channel of God's grace. Maybe he wouldn't have put it in those words, but that's what he was doing. He wasn't worrying about the future. He was seeing God in that very moment. And it happened again, and it happened another month, and another month, so that they became a regular connection there. Visitor holding that brother's hand. Then it came that they came 1 month to that place and to that nursing care facility, and he was looking for this man. The driver was looking for this man, and they said, well, he's down in his room, and I'm sorry to say, but he's dying. But you can go visit him, and you can go ahead and say a prayer over him. So the man went down the hallway and went into the room and grabbed his hand again like they had done so many months before and held it and said a prayer, not sure if he heard it or not. And at the end of that prayer, the brother who was laying in the bed just simply was squeezing his hand. And as he went out of the room, he ran into a woman, a young woman, and she simply said, thank you, to him, which he was surprised by. And he asked her why, as tears were coming down his cheeks, why in the world she would thank him for visiting this brother. And she said, well, my dad was looking forward to your visit because he told me that every month, regularly, Jesus came to visit with him and held his hand. We're not Jesus, but we point to him in our lives. And for some people, simply being in the moment with them may surprise us. We may never expect to be in that situation. But whenever we're putting God first, and we're putting things of God first, How can we point to God in our lives? What a privilege that is whenever that happens, isn't it? What a phenomenal joy that is. We're building God's kingdom. We're building God's reign. We're about eternity. We're about things that really, really matter whenever we put the most important things first. And in our time of discipleship and in our time of prayer right now, I would invite you to just simply be with me in an attitude of prayer. Thinking about the things that are on your list that are of God, and then the things on your list that you've put on that aren't of God. And simply say to God, Lord, help me to drop off, help me to take off those things that aren't of you anymore. Leave them at your feet and never pick them up again. God loves you more than you can imagine. Receive that love and grace right now.